Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Nun Gimel. We left off on Daf Nun Beis and Beis. I actually stopped a line short of where I should have stopped. So we are up to Ema Afal Gav de Lekam Osadina. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Li'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Shalom, and also by the Gross family, Lizecher Nishmas, Chan Aleya Bas Moshe Tzvi, Rav Moshe Yehuda Ben Rav Nachum, Chay Aleya Bas Naftali Hertzka, and Tzvi Menachem Ben Shmayahu. All in Shamas Shav and Aliyah, we thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So today we're going to continue the discussions of the Ksubas Ben Dichrin and the Ksubas Ben Nukvin, the extra conditions that were added into the Ksuba, and even if they weren't added into the Ksuba, were assumed in the Ksuba to take care of the woman's children that she has from that husband. And the Gemara is going to, so that's what the whole daf is going to be about, essentially. And the Gemara is going to, at the end, we're going to have five shailas that the Gemara is going to ask. It's going to give a simon for the names of the people that ask the shailas, and some of the shailas we have answers to, some of the shailas we don't have answers to. We're not going to get to all five today, but anyway, so we left off at the Ema Afal Gav de Leka Mosardina. So a little bit of background is that the Mishnah is going to say on Daf Tzadi Aleph that if a person doesn't leave over Nechasim more than the value of the two ksubas to pay for his two wives, and there's no additional dinar aside for the amount of money that he needs to pay for his two ksubas, the yarshim split evenly, and there's no takanas ksubas b'nin dichrin, because the ratzon of the chachamim was that in addition to the yerusha that normally goes to the children, there's also going to be ksubas b'nin dichrin, meaning in addition to the regular division of the yerusha, the male children from each wife are going to get what was earmarked for them, what was included in their nedunya. But there's got to be yerusha min haTorah. So, but if there is an extra dinar beyond what it says in the Ksubas, good, then they'll have a Yerusha with that dinar, and will fulfill the laws of Yerusha, and the Ksubas Ben Dichrin will happen with the rest. So the Gemara asks, once the Chacham were misaking Ksubas Ben Dichrin, in order to encourage people to marry off, provide a generous dowry for their daughters, why don't we say that encouragement should be there, even if there isn't extra money, even if there isn't a Moser Dinar? Why do we need that Moser Dinar? Science Gemara b'makom to come yekra nachla d'oraisa lo takin rabbanan lecham. We're not misakein a ksubas ben dichrin in a place where that's going to replace Yerusha mida oraisa. All the sons should split evenly, and therefore, when there's an extra dinar that you could be mekayim Yerusha d'oraisa with, good, then we'll be mekayim Yerusha d'oraisa. But we're not going to be misakein takana that's going to uproot Yerusha d'oraisa. So now the Gemara brings a story relating to Ksubas Ben Dichrin and to Nadunya that is written, that a father writes for his daughter, and to what extent we pressure the father to write a proper Nadunya or to give over a proper Nadunya to his daughter. So Rav Papa Yasek Le Lebrei Bei Abba Sura'a. Rav Papa was involved in the arrangements of the wedding of his child to the daughter of Abba Sura'a. Happens to be Abba Sura'a was also Rav Papa's father-in-law, but his child was not marrying his mother's sister. His child was marrying his father's wife's sister, not his mother's sister. I mean, that must have not been, Rav Papa must have had a previous marriage that he had this child from. So Azul, so Rav Papa went to the father of the girl, the Mikhtav L'Ksubasa, to establish what the Nadunya is going to be, what should be the details of the Ksuba, to negotiate. Shami Yehuda Bar Marema, Yehuda Bar Marema heard that Rav Papa had arrived in Surah, and Rav Papa was very chash of a person, so Nafagas Asa is Chazile. So he went, Yehuda Bar Marema went out to greet Rav Papa to show him some kavod. Kimatu L'Pischa, when they got to the doorway of Abba Sora'a, where Rav Papa was going to go negotiate, have a kamiftar mine. Yehuda Bar Marema said, okay, I go ad Khan, and have a nice day, and he was going to walk away. So Rav Papa said to him, Neil Mar Ba'adoi, why don't you come in with me? Meaning, there's no reason you can't join me. So Chazi Dalav Nichale, Rav Papa saw that Yehuda Bar Marema was not interested in coming in and being involved in these negotiations. So Rav Papa said to him, My day teich, Mishum Darmele Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shin Nalotave Biburi Achsanta. What are you worried about? Is it because you're concerned about that which Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, that you shouldn't be a partner in an endeavor that takes away Nachla, that takes away Yerusha, Afilu Mibra Bisha Lebrata, Chava, even from a bad son to a good son, because you want to be Mekayim, the din of Yerusha properly, the Lo Yodiyah, Maizar and Nafik Mina, because after all, you don't know which children are going to produce greater grandchildren, meaning you don't want to be Maver Nachla. The reason you don't want to be Maver Nachla from a bad son even to a good son is because the bad son may have better children than the good son is going to have. So it's not something you're interested in. You should be involved in. V'kolshkein Ribral Barta, and certainly maybe the reason you don't want to come is because over here it's not only from a son to a daughter, it's from a bad son to a good son, it's from a son to a daughter, it's Mibra Libarta, and that's why you don't want to join. So Hainami Takanta Drabanani Dam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Chai. No, this is also Takanta Drabanan that Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Shimon Chai, that we try to encourage people to give in a dunya so that the girls will be able to find the shidduch. So why are you so hesitant about this? So Yehuda ben Reimer explained why he didn't want to go. Amar Le, Yehuda ben Reimer said to Rav Papa, it's a takanas chacham to give in the dunya, but hani mili midaite. But the person has to have a choice to do that. La suye nami, but to then go and force him to do it. I'm going to go in with you and go beat this guy up until he gives in the dunya and go force him to give in the dunya to his daughter. That I don't want any part of. So Amar Le, Rav Papa said to Yehuda ben Reimer, atumi kamil loch deil va'asye. Whoever said anything about forcing him? I never invited you in to go put pressure on the father-in-law to give more than he's comfortable giving. Oh, the lo ta'asi kamina. Come in and don't put any pressure on him. Just come in and you'll participate in the conversation. You'll hear what's going on. So I'm like, Yehuda bar Meremer said to my papa, I'm still not comfortable with it. My lo didi hainu asiya. My going in is going to be viewed as an intimidation tactic because I'm a person who's a chashva person in the community. So you're bringing in the big guns with you as you go. So it's going to be viewed as an intimidation tactic. He's going to be embarrassed, and he's going to give more than he's comfortable giving because I'm going to be there. So achvie. So Rav Papa forced Yehuda bar Meremer to come in. He didn't force the father-in-law. He forced Yehuda bar Meremer to come in, and he made him say, "Well, I'm a big gun. You're going to come with me." And Yehuda bar Meremer had no choice. And va'al, he had to come in together with Rav Papa. So ishtik v'yasef. But Yehuda bar Meremer was there under protest, so he didn't say a word. He sat there the whole time quietly, didn't want to say anything. Savar, so Abba Sura'a thought that the reason Yehuda bar Meremer wasn't saying anything is he umir tarkratach. He must be angry at me. Here I am, I'm offering a generous nadunya for my daughter, and the other party brings in Yehuda bar Meremer. Yehuda bar Meremer is sitting there silently. He must be very unhappy with me. So kasri the kol mei da'avale. So Abba Sura'a kept on adding more to the nadunya to get Yehuda bar Meremer not to be upset with him. And he gave everything he has. Lesof, in the end, the Amar Lei, Abba Sura'a said to him, Hashanami lo mishtoimar. You're still being quiet. You're still not happy with what I did. Chaya demar lo shafki midil nafshai. I have nothing left for myself. I just gave everything I have. So Amalei Yehuda bar Meremer said, Imino ididi. If you would have asked me, my opinion, afilu hai nami deksafto lo nichli. Even that which you originally wrote, I wouldn't have given that much. I thought that was overly generous. So Amalei, so Abba Sura'a said, now you tell me, Hashanami ahadrabi. So he said, maybe I should. Can I go back and take away what I had just promised? Because had I known that you would have said not to give so much, then I wouldn't have given so much. Amalei shavya nafshach hadrana lo kamina. That to make yourself into a hadrana, to make yourself into a person who promises and doesn't deliver on your promises, that I would never say, because that's not appropriate to become someone like that. There is a discussion in the Tshuva Shavos Yaakov and others whether shtika is always a raya to hoda'a, or sometimes a person is shosek just because they don't want to be meshiv, they don't want to respond for whatever reason. Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva about a case in Chosh Mishpat Simon Kuf Tazayin. He has a discussion about a case where there was an asifa, there was a gathering of the big gvirim in a particular neighborhood. There were meeting about taking care of certain needs in the neighborhood, and only 30 of the balabatim showed up. It was supposed to be 100 balabatim that were invited to the meeting. Only 30 of the balabatim showed up, and they decided to be posek, a deal of how much each one is going to be obligated to pay to take care of the communal needs. The 70 that didn't show up said, when they found out about it, said, "We never agreed to that amount of money." So they said, "Well, you were aware of the meeting. Everyone knew the meeting was happening. You were invited to the meeting. You weren't doing anything else that night. So, but you decided not to show up. So we assume shtika koda, that by the fact that you didn't come and decided not to participate in the meeting, that that's going to be considered Ahudah. So the Chassam Sofer thought that was a valid taina, that it's as if by not showing up, it's as if you're giving over a harsha'a to allow them to do as they to represent you. The Maharit writes Beferish that even if you even if they were shaleach acharamiut velobau, even if they sent for people and they didn't come, that the das harov is not going to help even to be kofa the miut. So some of the Achronim are bothered. It's a fascinating thing. The Chuvas HaParkas Danya, he says, how could it be that the Chassam Sofer missed the Beferish Maharit, which is like, I don't know, meaning about a Shtika Kodah, that the Chassam Sofer is achray to know every Maharit? Apparently, yes. Meaning, like, they can't imagine that the Chassam Sofer would have missed a Beferish Maharit. But this is one of the our Gemara is one of the Rayas, that Shtika can be misinterpreted because it can go in both directions. Shtika could be a Hoda'ah, or it could be an objection, that he took it as an objection, even though it was really meant as a hoda'ah. So you have like that throughout Shas, that sometimes you have shasik at the end of a Gemara, you're not sure what that means. Why was he shasik? Was he shasik because he disagreed, or was he shasik because ultimately he agreed? Okay, so the Gemara brings several sfeikos la'alacha when it comes to ksubas min dichrin. If a woman sold her ksuba to her husband, yesh la ksubas min dichrin, o ein la ksubas min dichrin. Does the husband still have to give her children the nechassim that she brought into the marriage, even though she sold her ksuba back to him? Or maybe not. Or maybe since she sold the ksuba to him, so that's not considered the Yerusha of her father that was given over in the Nedunya. And there is no Yerusha of her father given over in the Nedunya, and therefore these benin dichrin, her male children from this husband, are not, or his male children from this wife, are not entitled to that money. So Amar Lei Rava, so Rava said to Rabbi Yemer Saba, why are you asking what the din is when she's mocheres? V'tibayilach mocheles. Why don't you ask a shayla if she's mochel the ksuba to her husband? She says that even if he dies or divorces her, he doesn't have to pay her ksuba. She's mochel the whole chiyuv, which is much more common than a mechira. And what you're going to tell me, that if she's mocheles, then it's pashut that the children receive a ksuba min adichrin because she never received anything in return for being mocheles, and that's why you're only asking about a mocheres where she actually received a hana'a in return. She got paid in return, but still you have to be mevar what the halach would be, that maybe they wouldn't get ksubas min dichrin because she was willing to forego that zuchus of the right to collect her ksuba while she was alive. So Amalei, so Rav Yemer Saba said, what, you think that I hold that someone who sells her ksuba doesn't have ksubas min dichrin because she got hana'a and the zuchus went away? Hashtum Mocheres coming by Eli. If I'm asking about Mocheres, the Afelgav Deikel Meimar, where even though it's possible to say that Zuzi and Sua, that she didn't really want to give up the rights to her ksuba, she was obviously desperate for money, and that's why she sold her ksuba. So Da'amina, Kamanduka, Mochela Mea Uchli Buuchla, it was as if she was being forced into this sale because she so desperately needed the money. And still I'm trying to ask a Shaila that maybe she loses the zechus of ksubas min dichrin. Mocheles mi bayi. If a woman is mochelas, where there's nothing forcing her into it, she's not even getting paid for it. So kal v'chomer that I'm going to have the suffix that maybe she loses the zchus. Meaning there's more reason to assume that she keeps the zchus of ksubas min dichrin in the case of mocheres, because in the case of mocheres, she doesn't want to forego anything. She's being forced to because she needs the money. In the case of mocheles, she's showing an absolute willingness to forego her rights. So maybe there's even more reason to assume that she's giving up on the ksubas min dichrin. So what's the answer? So Amar Rava, pshita li mocheres ksuba sala cheirim, yesh lo ksubas min dichrin. That if she sells ksuba to somebody else who's not her husband, that if she becomes an alman or she gets divorced, that they'll be able to collect on her ksuba, then for sure her children get a ksubas min dichrin, because if she would not have sold her ksuba and she would die b'chaye baila, her husband would yarshin her, and then the children would yarshin the ksuba, even though she never got the zchus of the ksuba in her lifetime. So now also she's not getting the zchus of her ksuba, and the children could still yarshin. My time, why is it that the children receive the ksubas min dichrin? Zuze and Sua, we assume that she was forced to sell it. She wasn't willing to forego anything other than actually what she sold, and therefore, if she sells it to somebody else, there's no doubt the sons are still going to be entitled to the ksubas min dichrin. Not only that, mochelas ksubas l'bayli. If a woman is mochel ksuba to her own husband, ain't the ksubas min dichrin. Then for sure the children don't get get my time. She was obviously in a very forgiving mood. She was willing to be mochel her whole ksuba for no reason without getting anything in return. So presumably she's being mochel the ksuba spin dichron as well. However, by Rava mocheres ksubas lebaila, the shaila is what if she's mocheres ksubas and not mocheles, but she's mocheres lebaila. She sells it to her husband. So kimocheres lacherim dami. Do we compare that like to selling a ksuba to other people where there is a ksuba spin dichron? Because the assumption is that she's not willing to forego much. Oh, kimochelis the bayla dami, or maybe since she was willing to give it up to her husband, that if she dies or they get divorced, she's not going to receive her ksuba, and the husband is going to get it, and she was mezalzel the ksuba. That's as if she's being mochel the ksuba to the husband. So basa debayu hadar pashta. After he asked the question, he was poshet the question. Rav himself was poshet the question. Mocheris ksuba lebayla kimocheris lacherim dami. Someone who sells her ksuba to her husband, it's as if she sold it to someone else, and therefore the children still get ksuba spinin dichrin. So the Gemara asks, and that which we said, that when she's forced into a sale of her ksuba, that she still gets ksuba spinin dichrin, meaning we said if she has to sell it to somebody else, and we even said in the end of the day, even if she has to sell it to her husband, because she so desperately needs the money, she's still going to be entitled to ksuba spinin dichrin, masav ravidi baravin. But we have a Mishnah in Yevamos. Mishnah in Yevamos Pezayin talks about a woman whose husband goes to Medina Sayyam, and Neilechud came and said, your husband died. So she went and she got remarried, and then the husband came home. So remember that Mishnah, we said all the chumas, Teitzeh, Mizeh, Mizeh, she needs a get, Mizeh, Mizeh, but now Mizeh, 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 she has no ksuba, Mesa. So we then say in that Mishnah, if she dies and she has children who are Mamzerim from the first husband who she went back to after he came back from Medina Siyam, and she has children from the second husband, Ein Yorshin Shalzeh, Ein Yorshin Shalzeh, Yorshin Ksubasa. Neither of them are Yorish or Ksuba. Vavinimba, and the Gemara asks on that Mishnah, Ksubasa Mayavinta. What do you mean? Where is she going to have a Ksuba that the children aren't going to Yarshin? She lost her Ksuba. But one of the things is, Ein Ksuba from either husband. Vamra Papa, Ksuba Spinin Dichrin. No, what we mean is, the Ksuba Spinin Dichrin, that if she dies in the lifetime of these two husbands and they yarshin her and then they die, so when the children come that she had from each husband to divide the nechasim of their father, they don't take the ksuba spinin dichrin from each of their respective mother from their mother. They if he has sons from another woman who happens to be a kosher woman, they would take the ksuba of their mother, and everything else gets split evenly, but the children of this woman will not get a ksuba spinin dichrin. So ask Maravam, why aren't they going to get a ksuba spinin dichrin? Didn't we say when she's anusa, when she's forced into something, she doesn't lose a ksuba spinin dichrin? So hachanami lema yetzer ansa. Over here also we should say that her yetzer, that she wanted to be with a husband, is what forced her to get remarried, and therefore she got married al pi eid echad, and she's considered an anusa. So whenever someone is forced into a situation, don't we say she's not giving up her ksuba spinin dichrin? Says Gemara, yeah, but hasam knasu de kansur rabbanan. When the Mishnah says that her children lose the ksuba spinin dichrin, that was a special knas we made against her because she did something really not right. The halacha is that an eid echad is only neman because we assume that the woman does a certain amount of research to be absolutely certain that the husband is dead before she remarries. Obviously, she didn't. She just said, ooh, eid echad, I'm going to let her remarry. And she went and she got remarried. So we have to make a knas, a penalty that she loses out the ksuba spinin dichrin. Now, one of the tanai ksuba is also that the husband has to support the wife after he dies from his estate, meaning after he dies, she gets supported from his estate so long as she stays in his house until she gets remarried. So the Gemara says, what do you mean remarried? Remarried in terms of Erisin, Nisuin? So Yosef Ravin Bar Chanina Kamed Rav Chisav Yosef Kamar Mishmed Rav Lazar Mochelas Ksubas Lebaila. If a woman is Mochel Ksuba to her husband, that if he dies or divorces her, she's not going to get a Ksuba. Ein La Mizonos. She does not get Mizonos from the Yisomim when the husband dies, because the mezonos that an almana gets is one of the tanai ksuba. So if she was mocheles the ksuba, she's mocheles those mezonos as well. Samleis, Rav Chisav said to Rav Bar Chanina, ilav de kamer l'mishrei de gavra rabba. If you would not have said that in the name of Rav Blazer, who happens to be an adam gadol, hava aminalach, I would have said that she does get mezonos. Because I would have said the pasuk meshiv ra tachas tova lo tamish ra mi beso, that a person who someone does them a favor and then they pay them back with a slap in the face, that's not nice at all. It's not likely going to lead to blessing in a person's house. Here she was nice enough to be mochel the ksuba, and now you're not even going to give her mizonos after the husband dies. Not nice. So Yasrav Nachman Vulav Avimi Bar Rav Papi V'Yasrav Rav Chia Barami Gabayu Asahu Gavra Deshchiva Arusaso. A number of the holy Amorayim were sitting together, and a certain guy whose Arusa died came, and he asked whether he's obligated to bury her, because one of the Tanai Ksubas is that a person has to bury his wife. So Armilei, they said to him, Zil Kvar Ohav L'Ksubasa, that the Arusa is entitled to the Ksuba, V'chamra Misakein Kvura in Tachas L'Ksuba, meaning since when she dies, he doesn't have to give the Ksuba the Mana Masayim that he owes her. That's why he's chayiv in the kvura. So since the arusa has a ksuba, so you have your choice: either pay for the burial or give the ksuba. Samlu Rav Chia, Rav Chia Barami said, Tanina, I learned that an arusa does not have a din of a ksuba, and therefore an arusa who dies lazman would not be chayiv in the kvura. Ishtar arusa, because the Braisa tells us that if an ishtar arusa dies, lo onain, he does not become an onain. Onain over here means not what we refer to an onain in our language. What we refer to an onain in the Mishnah is referred to as misha meso mutal lefanav, someone who just didn't have kvura, where you put for mitzvos and things like that. When the technical term onain in the Mishnah is means dafka on the day of death, that entire day of death, where you're not allowed to eat maisa sheni, you're not allowed to eat kachim, where there are certain halachas about the, but it's even after the kvura, but it's only on the day of the misa itself. So lo onin means he doesn't become asur b'kachim, v'lo metamela, and if he's a kohen, he's not metame to her, because she's not yet ishto, she's not yet one of the Zion Krovim, because the pasuk says, ki im l'she'ero ha'koroi ve'lov lo yitama, that it's only she'ero, and she'ero is only from nisuin, v'chein hi lo onenes, and she, if he dies, she does not become asur tit kachim that day, v'lo metamela low, and she is not obligated to become tameh to him. She has no iser. Kohenes has no iser to become tameh, but she wouldn't have a chiyuv to become tameh to him. Mesa, and if she dies, eino yarsha. He does not yarshin the nadunya that she brought into the marriage, because he's only yarish from the time of the chuppah. Mes hu govuk subasa. If he dies, she can collect the ksuba, the manam asayim, the tosefes from the yarshin. So taima de mes hu, but it's only because he dies. But if she dies in his lifetime, ein lo ksuba, there is no din ksuba, and therefore you should not be obligated to bury her. So you see from this price, so there's no din of a ksuba for an arusa. So why did you say that he's chayiv in kvuras arusa? So the Gemara explains, my time, why is it that when an arusa dies in the lifetime of her husband, he doesn't have to bury her on account of the mana masayim that he has to pay for the ksuba which he yarshin from her? So Amrav Hoshaya, she'ena nikoriba l'kshnasi l'achar titli mashakos of lichi. Because that clause in the ksuba is not going to be applicable in this case. He's not chayiv to pay the ksuba unless she's going to still be around to marry someone else, meaning that he dies or he divorced her. And over here, where he didn't die, he didn't divorce her, she died, so he's not going to be meshubah to the ksuba, he's not going to be chayiv in the ksuba yet, because she has no ability to go get married to someone else, because she's dead. So kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Amrish Lakish, Arusa Shemesa in La Ksuba. If an Arusa dies, she's not entitled to Ksuba. So Amla Abayi, Zilu Amrile, go tell Ravin, Shkila Tivusech, that we thought we owe you so much for teaching us such a din. We no longer have any Akar Satov. Shadia Chizri, we could take whatever good you've done and throw it on the thorns, meaning we don't need you anymore, because Kvar Tirgum Rav Hoshai Lishmaitse, Bibavel. Rav Hoshai already explained this and already taught this halacha in Bavel, that an Arusa doesn't get any ksuba because you cannot say masha kasav lichi. So even though Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael and he was saying, oh, I came with this whole new chiddush that everyone needs to hear about, so Abaye said, well, we don't really need Ravin's chiddush, we already knew it wasn't such a chiddush that you brought from Eretz Yisrael. He didn't discover America over here. Okay, then we said, in addition, ksubas benedikrin beninukvin diavian lichi minai, there's another element of the ksuba, another tzna ksuba, that the female children that she has that the husband has from this wife will be allowed to stay and receive mizonos until they get married. So, and even if you don't make that as a tanaim, l'ksuba it's automatic because it's a tanaim based in that a person has to take care of the daughters until they get married. So, Rav Tani ad tilachin l'guvrin. Rav was goris in the Mishnah that b'ninuk v'diavon mitzvah minichse ad tilachin l'guvrin until tilachin l'guvrin. V'levi Tani ad tibagran. That is until they become a bogeres. So Rav taught that it's until they get married. Levi taught it's until they become a bogeres. L'Rav, wait, does that mean according to Rav, avogav de bagar, that even when she becomes a bogeres, she's still entitled to the mizonos? That can't be. A bogeres, it takes her out of the rishus of the father entirely. So she shouldn't get mizonos from the father anymore. Ula Levi, avogav de intziv. And does that mean that according to Levi, even if she gets married, she's still going to be supported from the father? That doesn't make sense. When she gets married, she should no longer be supported by the father. Ella bagar velo insiv, insiv lo bagar dekuli alma lo pligi. If either one of those things happens, she becomes a bogeres or she becomes a nesua, there is no machlokas. Of course, she doesn't get support from the father's money anymore. Ki pligi ba'arusa velo bagar. The machlokas is, what if she didn't have nisuin? She had erusin, and she's also still not a bogeres. So do we assume that as an arusa, she's entitled to the mizonos, or do we say that to the mizonos of the father, do we say, no, she's got a husband now. Not a full husband, only an arusa, but maybe that's enough to say that she's that she receives mizonos from the husband. So the Gemara brings a raya that even if she's an arusa, she's still mizonos minichasa. V'chein tani levi. So that was the machlokas between Rav and Levi, right? That Rav said that since the husband wrote in the ksuba to his wife that the daughters should get mizonos ad tilakhun leguvrin. Tilakhun means kicha. Kicha in the Torah, ki yikach ish isha, always means kiddushin. It's erusin. So once there's erusin, that clause runs out. She no longer gets mizonos from him. Levi said, aditi bagran, until she becomes a bogeres. Now, obviously, if she gets married and she has nisuin, she's also not going to get supported from the father. But until she becomes a bogeres or has nisuin, if she only has erusin, then she's not going to, then she will still receive support from the father. And Levi taught the same idea in a brisa that the daughter gets support from the father until she becomes a bogeres, and the time comes for the nisuin to take place. Time coming for the nisuin to take place, meaning when the husband had guaranteed that the nisuin would happen. Typically, they would have erusin a year before the nisuin. When the year was up and it was time for the nisuin, if he didn't, if he wasn't ready to marry her, he already had to start supporting her. So at that point, even if the nisuin didn't actually happen, but it was the time where it was meant to happen, where it was supposed to happen, the husband would taka have to support her. So ask the Gemara, Tarti, the Levi requires both of them to happen, that the daughter's going to get mizonos until she becomes a bogeres and the zman for nisuin has come. But if the zman for nisuin came and she didn't become a bogeres, or she became a bogeres and the zman for nisuin didn't come, she'll still get mizonos from her father. So why? Why do you need both of those things to happen? So says the Gemara, you don't. Ella tibagrun. Oh, yamti zimnein nasva. One or the other, whichever comes first. Either she becomes a bogeres, or the zman comes from the nisuin. Whichever one comes first, that's when the father no longer has to support her. So says Mar, this machlokas between Rav and Levi, whether a father has to support his daughter after she already has erusin with somebody with a husband, so kitanoi is a machlokas tanoim. And masay abas nizonos, because the brisa asks, until when does abas receive mizonos? Ad sheteyores, until erusin. Mishum Rav Lazar Omer, ad shetibager, until she becomes a bogeres. So Rav holds like the Tanakama, that once erusin hits, it's no longer she no longer gets mizonos. And Levi holds like Rav Lazar, that she gets mizonos until she becomes a bogeres or a nesua. So Tani Rav Yosef ad diahavion. Rav Yosef taught in the brisa that the line in the ksuba is that she'll receive mizonos from his nechasim ad yahavion leguvrin, until they will be two husbands. So Gemara explains ibayilahu havaya de erusin or havaya de nisuin. That's a little cryptic. What does that mean? Does that mean erusin or does that mean nisuin? Some of the Rav Yosef mishmi alach minei Rav Yehuda. Arusa Yesh L'mazonos Oyin L'mazonos. So Rav Chisda said to Rav Yosef, do you have any tradition about this? Did you hear anything from Rav Yehuda? If an Ara is an Arusa and she's a Yisoma, does she receive mazonos from her brothers or not? So Rav Yosef said to Rav Chisda, Mishma lo shmi'ali, I don't have a Beferish Masora from Rav Yehuda on this matter. Eli Misvara Lesla. But if you can ask me what I think, I would say Misvara, she should not get mazonos from the brothers anymore, because the reason the Rabbanim were masakin that a daughter gets mazonos from the Nechasim of the father is so that she shouldn't have to be chazal psachim, because it's not the derech of an isha to be chazal psachim. It's not nice. It's beneath her dignity. But kiven de irsal lanichle de titzal. But now that she has a husband who's concerned about her dignity, so even though he's not technically obligated to give her mazonos, but he's not going to let her be chazal psachim anyway. So we don't need this takana of ksubsman and nukvin to save her dignity, because the husband will save her dignity, even though he's technically not obligated to do so. It's a little bit funny. The Ritva wonders, why should the brothers be putter from giving her mazonos on the smach that it will strong arm the arus into supporting her? He's not obligated to support her yet. He's only beirusin. But we're gonna make it so that the brothers won't have to give the support, so that the guy that she's engaged to will feel this kind of pressure to support her. A little difficult. So Amalei. So if Chista said in mishma lo shmi'alach, if you don't have a tradition, then misvara isla. I would disagree. I would say misvara, she does get mazonos from the brothers. Look, when you only have erusin, you don't know that it's going to work out yet, because after nisuin, he may find a mum that he was unaware of, and the whole marriage might fall apart. So he's not going to make any major investments yet at that point when it's only erusin and not nisuin. Others say the conversation went the opposite. That Amar Leih, Rav Yosef said to Rav Chisda, Mishma lo shmili, I don't have a tradition from Rabbi Yehuda what the din is, but misvara isla, misvara, I would say she has mizonos, kiven de lo kimle begava, since he's not the arus doesn't know that she's not going to be a balas mum, lo shadi zuzi bekadi, he's not going to throw his money away, he's not going to want to invest in supporting her. So Amalei, Rav Chisda said to Rav Yosef, if you don't have a tradition from Rav Yehuda, misvara lesla, I would say the opposite, that she does not get the mizonos, because kiven de irsa lo nichle de titzel, because it will be embarrassing for the guy who's engaged her to have her going around begging for money. So now the Gemara moves on to five different sfeikos, five different shilos that are raised. We're not going to get to all five today, but the simon de gavri, the simon of the people who raised the shilos, are shak zaraf. That's the simon of the names of the people that ask the question, because it's Rav Sheshes, Reish Lakish, that's the Kuf, Rabbi Lazar, because it's the Zion, Rava, that's the Reish, and Rav Papa, that's the Pei. And the simon for the shilos that they ask are Miana, Uyivama, Shnia, Arusa, Va'anusa. Okay, so now we have a simon. So let's see what these shilas actually are. So Baminim Rav Sheshes, they asked Rav Sheshes the following. Mima Enes, a ketana who was a Yosoma, and her mother and brother married her off for Kiddusha Midrabanan, and she could be Mima'in, and walk out of the marriage without a get, and she does so. So Yeshla Mazonos, does she receive Mazonos until she becomes a Bogeres? The Mishnah says that once a girl has Nisuin, she loses the Mazonos. A ketana that was Mima Enes, so that's Oker the Nisuin Lemafreya. So it turns out she never really had Nisuin away in the Mazonos. Or maybe she did have Nisuin, she left the Rosh Hashanah at some point, so she doesn't go back to get Mazonos. So Amar Rav Sheshes Tinisuha. We already learned this in a Braisa. Almana Bevesavia, an Almana who's in her father's house, she became an Almana from Erisin. Ugrusha Bevesavia, or a Grusha who got divorced after Erisin. Vishomeres Yavam, or a woman who's an Almana whose husband died and she's waiting for Yibum Bevesavia, and she's in her father's house. Yeshla Mazonos, the father's Nechasim have to support her because she never had Nisuin, so she never left the Rishus of the father, even though she had Erisin, but she goes back to the Rishus of the father when she gets divorced or becomes an Almana. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Oda Bevesavia Yeshla Mazonos, when she's still in her father's house, she has Mazonos, she gets supported from his estate. Eina Bevesavia, when she's not in her father's house, she already had Nisuin, she left her father's house. ain lamazon, she no longer gets supported from his estate. So frankly, Rabbi Yudai and Tanakami, isn't that exactly the same thing that Tanakami said? They both say that only when she's in Beis Aviyah she gets mazonos, when she has nisuin she doesn't get mazonos. Elulav mima'enes, hikabinayu, must be the Tanakami and Rabbi Yudai are arguing about a katana who already had this nisuin midrabanan, but she walked away from that nisuin derabanan, and now she's back, berushos Aviyah. Tanakami suffer isla, Tanakami holds she has mazonos, and that's why he said, almana bebeis Aviyah yeshlam mizonos, because that's talking about a mima enes. Rabbi Yudah Savar Lasla, Rabbi Yudah says she does not get mizonos. That's why Rabbi Yudah said ba'oda bebeis aviyah yeshla mizonos. If she remains bebeis aviyah, she has mizonos. But over here, she didn't remain. She had left for some time, and therefore she's not entitled to mizonos anymore. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the next four of the shaylas.